far the Rebbe Shiurim are getting a little bit expensive. Last week's Shiur already cost somebody a couple of $1,000 because they realized that they had been in some kind of a setup which involved the severe shail of Rebbe's. So hopefully as the Shiurim move on, I hope nobody sends me a bill for the duration of the Shiurim. So we introduced the concept last week that a critical component in terms of Rebbe's on a level of the Araisa for sure is the fact that there's a Malv and there's a Loveh. And if you don't have a malva, you don't have a lovis, and then there's nothing to discuss. That's what the Gemara uses the phrase, La Usra Torah, La Ribis, Abba, Miyad, Lovli, Ab Malva. So sometimes you can have a situation where there is a malva, there is a lovis, but the ribis is not going directly from the malva to the lovis. It's going through some third party. So under certain circumstances, that's absolutely permissible. As we mentioned at the end of the show last week, under certain circumstances, that's absolutely prohibited, depending on how the wording and how the deal is set up. If it's set up in a way which involves the principle of arev, that I'm actually telling you to give money to the other person, that's going to be problematic. So based on this sugya of lo asra Torah, ribis, alamiya, abomiya, lovelya, malveh, there is a phenomenal chiddush of Rashi, which if this shita would be correct, or if the application of it would be correct, could do away with just about all of Hilchos Ribis. But don't get too excited, because at the end of the day, it's not going to be practical. So Rashi is quoted, it's not a Rashi on in his parish in the Gemara, it's a Tshuvas Rashi. It's a Tshuva that's attributed to Rashi, that's quoted in the Mordechai, which says as follows. It says, I say the supposed Tshuvas Rashi, because there is some question whether Rashi ever wrote the Tshuva, but it says the supposed Tshuvas Rashi as follows. Lo asra Torah, the ribis above me, lovely ad malva, an absolutely critical component of the prohibition of ribis is that the money changes hands from the lovet directly to the malvet. What if it goes to a middleman? What if the ribis, rather than going from the lovet to the malvet, goes through what we would otherwise call a shaliach? So comes Rashi and says, that's okay, that's not a problem with ribis. I go, valdik echidish. So I lend you $1,000, and I say, I'm lending you $1,000 on the condition they're going to pay me back $1,500. It's mamish ribis ketsutz. It's got everything going against it. It sounds like it's an absolute issa d'araisa. No one's going to come back with chisa mesim, the worst of the worst. As the Gemara says, if you take ribis, you're not going to come back with chisa mesim. So you've got to be careful about that. So comes Rashi and says, doesn't matter. As long as the ribis payment didn't go directly from the lover to the malva, but rather went through a middle person, so that's okay. So Rashi asks himself, what do you mean that's okay? Shlichus. So shlichus lam kamoso. So if I can appoint the shaliach to be mekadesh anisha, I can appoint the shaliach to be mafresh truma, so that the oro and the shaliach, when the agent, when the middleman is acting, is at my based on my request, so he's considered to be like me. So shlichus lam kamoso. So says Rashi, no. The Gemara says in Kiddush and Daf Mem Beis that the principle of shlichus doesn't apply in the realm of aveiros. Let's say if I appoint the shaliach, a person hires a hitman to kill somebody, so obviously the person who did the hiring is not going straight to Gan Eden, but in terms of who's chayav misa, so the person who's chayav misa, the person who pulled the trigger, because ein shlichus va'aveira, divrei rav, divrei tam, divrei mishomim, who are you supposed to listen to? The shlich isn't supposed to listen to the mishalach, the shlich is supposed to listen to the rabban shalom. So ein shlichus va'aveira. So therefore Rashi says as follows, since ein shlichus va'aveira, it turns out that the shlich is not really representing me, he's not considered to be like me, he's considered to be like a third person. So it's like a third person giving ribbis. A third person giving ribbis, that's not a problem of ribbis.
But that's a paradox. In that case, he's not actually up with Baravera.
You have to get off the merry-go-round at some point. Yeah. So this is excellent ha'ara. So this is what Rashi says. And this is what it says, Beferish in print, in the Mordechai, in the name of Jewish Rashi. And therefore, everything is gevaldik, meridik. So the question is, do we accept this Rashi? It sounds so bizarre, it sounds so strange. One of the things that's bizarre, as Dr. Weinberger points out, is that Manavshach, if he's a shliach, then it's not an aveir. If he's not an aveir, then you can't stop the ball rolling. So there are many, many Gedolei HaPoskim who say that Lohayu Dvar Me'olam, Rashi never said such a thing, it's absurd, it's ridiculous, it was never said in the name of Rashi, it was a Talmud Toya who wrote such a tshuva. A person came to one of the Rebbe Shiurim in France, and they thought Rashi said something, and they wrote it down, and they presented it as Rashi Shita. Everything's online, you can always check, you can always see what the Rebbe said, but in those days, somebody misunderstood Rashi at the Shiur. So who says that somebody misunderstood Rashi at the Shiur? None other than the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef writes that the whole thing is a toast, Rashi never said such a wild thing. And who goes along with this? Basically, Yosef, the Gra. The Gra writes that I'm not going to spend time trying to be Miyasha, the Shittas Rashi. It's wrong. It's Rashi never said such a thing. Notwithstanding these two Gedolei Olam, the Beis Yosef and the Gra, who say that they can't believe in a million years Rashi said such a thing, the Ramah says Rashi did say such a thing, and the Ramah says we pass like this Rashi. That's what the Ramah says. It's Rashi. It's Chelik of Rashi. So the Ramah says that we rely on Rashi. I'm all right. Since Beis Yosef didn't accept it, and others didn't accept it, and we never heard of any other Rishonim who said it, so we're not going to live our lives based on this Rashi. But says Ramah, off the record, Meika Mikra did. Those who rely on Rashi is Nishkefelach. It wasn't only the Ramah said it. The Shach says the same thing. The Shach says that it appears to him that Yesh L'smok, B'shas L'chach, those who are stuck, he relies on Shittas Rashi. So now we have a Machloikis, a Gedoli, a Poskim. Far be it from me to be Machriya. This is a two-on-two. It's hard to be Machriya. But he's always been the Gerog against the Ramon, the Shach. He got the, probably the four biggest names in Pesach Halach in the last 500 years up there. So it's hard to be Machriya. So there's definitely what to rely on. There's definitely something. There's a Mashu, the Halakha Shittas Rashi, or there's a Bozo Shittas Rashi. However, not so simple. Even according to Rashi, it is extremely problematic to invoke this Kula for several reasons. That the Ramah already points out that if you look carefully at the Gemara, there are Gemaras, there's Mishnayos that kimat befavorish contradict Shittas Rashi. The Mishnah speaks about the following Shiloh. The Mishnah talks about something we'll talk about a little bit later on. What's called ribis mucheres, ribis mukdemes. Ribis mukdemes, ribis mucheres means that I pay you ribis, but not at the time of the loan itself. That means I borrow $1,000 for you to be paid back $1,000. Sure. And then deal's over, finished, I pay back $1,000. 6 months later, so I send you a beautiful, beautiful gift. And we'll talk about that. How do you know that gift has anything to do with the loan? Well, I told it to you. I say to you, by the way, remember that loan from 6 months ago? Here I decided to buy you an unbelievable birthday gift because of that wonderful loan you gave me 6 months ago. That's what's called ribis mucheres. Or ribis mukdemes is the opposite. Ribis mukdemes means I didn't borrow $1,000 yet. No money has changed hands. I say to you as follows. I say, listen, in 6 months from now, I'm going to borrow $1,000 from you. $1,000 for $1,000, I would never dream of taking ribbis. But, you know, right now, let me send you a beautiful gift 6 months before the loan takes place. That's what's called ribbis mukdemes. Again, we'll talk about the details, when that's also, when that's mutter, what the guidelines of that are, and hopefully in future shiurim. But in that sugya, that Mishnah, in the end of Ezer Nash, about ribbis mukdemes and ribbis mucheres, so the Mishnah uses a lashon, v'shilach lo'as haribbis, that I sent the ribbis with somebody else. It means I want to borrow $1,000 from you, so I send somebody to bring you a wonderful gift. So the Mishnah talks beferish about ribbis ayedei shaliach being prohibited. So how could Rashi say such a thing? If the Mishnah says black and white that afilu shilach lo'as haribbis, even if I send you the ribbis to somebody else, that's a problem. How could Rashi say what he says? So comes the Ramah and says al karchach. What Rashi must have meant is as follows: that b'med devar mamurim that Rashi said that ribbis ayedei shaliach is mutar, is mamish mutar lechatchila according to Shittas Rashi. That's if everything was done al yedei shaliach. The loan was done al yedei shaliach. The payment of the ribbis was done al yedei shaliach. If the malv and the loiv and mamish never saw each other, if everything was done al yedei shaliach, that's when Rashi says what he says. But if either the loan or the giving of the ribbis was done the atzmo from the malva to the loiv, so that's out of the question. That's also. Okay, that in and of itself is not terrible. We could deal with that. We could set up situations that I want to buy ribbis from somebody. So not just that I'm going to give the ribbis ayedei shaliach, but I'm going to make sure the loan is done ayedei shaliach. I'm going to make sure there's a broker there all the time. For any transferring of any funds is going to be done ayedei middleman. So we could be a little careful. We could follow the Ramah's qualification of Shittas Rashi. But then comes the Ramah with the Machmir Patis, the nail on the coffin in terms of Shittas Rashi. Comes the Ramah and says, and let's not forget, the Ramah is the biggest makel here. The Ramah is the B'nei Yotzim B'yad Ramah. The only one we can rely on is this Ramah, who's willing to give some credibility to Shittas Rashi. If you're a Sfaradi or you're a Gronik, so you don't believe in the whole story, you would have left the Shia 20 minutes ago. You heard Rashi, Shita that doesn't exist. But even according to the Mekilim Shev Mekilim, the Heilige Ramah is willing to give a little bit of credibility to Shittas Rashi. The Ramah says, wait a second. B'med devar mamurim, that we can call this ribbis ayedei shaliach, that's when the malva and the lova not only don't see each other, not just physically don't see each other, but there's no document that's written, in the name of the Malv and the Loiva. If there's a document that has the Loiva's name written on it, so what kind of farce is that? That's not Ribbis Aydei Shaliach. That's Ribbis from a Loiva to a Malva directly through the documentation. Because there's a third person who's walking around carrying the cash from one to another. That's not Ribbis Aydei Shaliach. That's Ribbis Aydei Loiva to the Malva. So says the Ramah, the biggest Mekel, who says, if your name's on the account, if it says Ruvain borrows 1,000 miles from Shimon, and just for a game, we play a game and we tell him, it's like Shalach Manas, instead of giving the Shalach Manas directly, say, ask a Shaliach to do it, according to the Binyan Tzion. There's one side, the Binyan Tzion, the only Yetzi Shalach Manas, if it's Shalach Manas, Aydei Shaliach. So the Mishnah Berurah quoted that Binyan Tzion, and that became the Minig. The only Yeshiva Bachar, no, you don't give Shalach Manas yourself, you give it Aydei Shaliach. One small technicality, if you look at the Tshuva, the Binyan Tzion, so the Binyan Tzion backs out from that. He says it as a possibility, and he says, nah, that's ridiculous, it's not true, you don't have to give Shalach Manas Aydei Shaliach. You can be Yotzei Aydei yourself also. So it's a little bit of a pell on the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the suffix of the Binyan Tzion, but doesn't quote at the end of the Tshuva, the Binyan Tzion himself backs out. So most people never heard the Binyan Tzion. So they just learn Mishnah Berurah. So the Mishnah Berurah says, Yesh l'stapek if you yotzei, if you give it Shaloi de Shaliach. So everyone became so machmi, you have to give Shalach Manas de Shaliach. There's no such chumra. So over here also, the Ribbis, you can't just play a game and say, I have $1,000, we're writing up documents that say you owe me $1,000 to be paid at 1,200 in 6 months from now, and we're just going to play a game, rather than me handing you the money, I'm going to pull in the third guy and say, take this $1,000 and give it to the Lova, and then in 6 months from now, the Lova's going to say, take this $1,200 and give it back to the Malva. But the document says on it, Reuven O. Shimon, $1,200 in place of $1,000. So the Ramah says that's Ribbis Deraisa. There's nothing to talk about. The whole Rashi Lohayud Vermeo. So if you want to borrow money from somebody and rely on this Ramah, you have to. You can't have a bishtar. You can't sign any documents on it. Go get a big loan from somebody without documentation. Go to the bank and tell the bank, I want to borrow $50,000 without signing any paperwork. I won't sign my name. I'm going to sign the shliach's name. It's a joke. It's a leitzonus. So therefore, bizman hazeh, in terms of any real loans, anytime we can have any real ribbis shilas, so even the mekilim shav mekilim, who are willing to give validity to this supposed this Rashi, it would only be true if two things are met, two conditions are met. Number one, everything is done through the shliach, both the lending of the money originally and the paying of the ribbis. Hakol mikakol, everything is done by the shliach. And number two, there's no writing, there's no record of anything. Because once there's a record of anything with the mouth and the lover's name on it, then it's a done deal, then it's all over. That's ribbis deraisa. And even if both of those conditions are met, you should just know that the Beis Yosef and the Gerah thought that the whole thing was a joke, that the whole thing, the lohayud v'amiyonim. So therefore, let's say, Aishtikul Torah, lamaisa, ribbis and the shliach isn't going to help us too much.
Is banking done electronically considered al yedei shliach?
It doesn't matter because it's everything is there are records of everything, so it says my name in the account. So that's like a shtar right there. Hello, so the banking, modern day banking, is not going to be. We're not going to be able to invoke this school of Rashi even if it exists.
Maybe everything through shliach means actually handing it back forth, or the negotiations also.
No, the actual handing the money.
They could negotiate face to face, but the money.
I mean, negotiating ribbis deal is in and of itself a problem until the money. I don't know. I'm not sure. The ma'aseh is not going to happen. We're not going to rely on the skula. I mean, in the days of the Ramah, it was a real possibility. But as long as that's not really shach anymore. The role of the malva and the lova is so critical in terms of determining that we have a problem of ribbis on our hands. If you don't have a malva and a lova, so then you don't really have ribbis. So now the question becomes, what if you have a malva and a lova, but not a conventional type of a malva and a lova? What if you have other kinds of malvas and lovas in terms of corporations, businesses, in terms of tzedakah funds, things of this nature? So let's just get a little bit of a background in terms of the significance of these halachos, because again, we're trying to define what really is ribbis d'araisa. So malva and lova are critical. So Malva and Lova could potentially be people who are not quite people or other kinds of entities. How does this play out in terms of Hilchos Ribbis? So the Gemara of Metzia tells us that there is a concept what's called Ma'ol Shel Yisomim. If you have a Nebuchadnezzar person died young and he left over a whole estate and he has little children, so the little children, of course, are Yoresh, they inherit the funds. And Ma'ol Shel Yisomim, usually if the children are really young, so Beis Din sets up an apotropos, they set up a court guardian in order to take care of them, to make sure they don't lose all their money. And sometimes this court guardian, this apotropos, wants to invest the funds. He wants to know, maybe he should or shouldn't, but he's trying his best to make a little bit more money for the for the Yisomim. So one of the investments he'd like to do is like to lend that money to Ribbis. He wants to take this money and lend it to other people to make more money off of it. So is he permitted to do that or not? So the Gemara, although the Gemara does quote a possibility that would be mutter, the Gemara concludes that's absolutely awesome. The Gemara says there's no way that we can permit the apotropos to lend out money shel Yisomim, even though the Yisomim are technically under bar mitzvah. That's what the Shah of the Gemara is. The Yisomim, the owners of the money, are technically under bar mitzvah. So maybe one could have argued that they're not really chayv a mitzvah, so there's nothing really wrong with them lending money beribis, which Tosfos jumps on that Gemara and says, wait a second, even if the malvis under bar mitzvah, but the lov is also aser. So if the apotropos lends out the ketanim's money to another Jew, so even though the malvah is not over because he's not chayv mitzvahs, but the lov is going to be over because the lov is over by mitzvah. So Tosfos points out that the issue on the lov only applies when there's an issue on the malvah. The primary issue of ribbis is on the lender of the money. So when the lender's also, then the borrower is also. When the lender's mutter, then the borrower is mutter. Tosfos quotes a chiddush. But at the end of the day, the Gemara says the whole thing is also. You're not allowed to do this. That you're not allowed to lend money shall you sell me. Says, forget it. Whatever the svar was, lahakel, the ma'is the Gemara rejects it, and so we pass it in halacha that you're not permitted to lend money shall yisayim beribis. However, the Gemara says that even though you're not permitted to lend money shall yisayim beribis, you are permitted to lend money shall yisayim beribis derabanan. If it's only an issa derabanan of ribis, we haven't quite spoke about all the details. We haven't even begun to spoke about the details of what ribis derabanan is all about. But if somehow you can knock down the issa ribis to a prohibition with derabanan, so then ribis derabanan lo goes. If the whole thing is only derabanan, and we want the Yisomim to make money, we want them to profit. So ribis derabanan, they gave a special clue, they gave a special leeway that ribis derabanan is muta b'mol shel Yisomim. That's what the conclusion of the Gemara is. There is a machlekes that we showed him about technically how we do that and the details of that, but lemaisav that's the din. That says in the Shulchan Aruch, that's what we pass in the halacha, the mol shel Yisomim, one is permitted to be involved in ribis derabanan type of transactions. It's based on this that the Rishonim extrapolate and say this is not only true beribis b'molsha yisomim, but this is true for all kinds of tzedakas. Let's say you have yeshivas, you have shuls, you have other mikvahs, you have other organizations that they have some money and they want to try to make some more money. So those are different questions. Those are the nimumnus questions about how much are you permitted to invest public funds if you're afraid you're going to lose the money. But that's a different story. Let's say assuming they're not going to lose any money, it's guaranteed. They're just lending $1,000 to somebody and they want to make back. They want to make more money. So if it's ribis deraisa, so that's out of the question. That most of tzedakos are not any different than most of yisayimim. But if it's ribis derabanan, so then it's mutar. So as we go on, as we point out over the next couple, hopefully the next couple of shiurim, what's deraisa, what's derabanan, we should always keep in the back of our mind that ribis derabanan is mutar under certain circumstances. Namely, if it's yeshiva money, if it's shul money, if it's tzedakah money, would be permitted to violate what would otherwise be an issur of ribis derabanan. So that's a further question. Does that apply to private mitzvahs also? That's a further discussion. The Mishnah Berurah is not with it. The Pesukim discuss in Shabbos about a person who doesn't have any money for a Shabbos meal. So he has a couple of pennies, but he wants to lend the money in such a way that it'll only be in ribis derabanan in order to be able to provide for a Shabbos need. So is that mutter? That's a private individual. That's Mishnah Berurah says, I think, that you're not allowed to do that. Others may question that. So again, ribis derais is absolutely out of the question under all circumstances. Ribis derabanan, so that's going to be mutter. So comes the Rashba and suggests the following tremendous chiddush. Comes the Rashba and says, you know, the whole discussion in the Gemara about whether we could be mekil shasad chat ribis derabanan for moshe yisomim, that's only talking about moshe yisomim, because the moshe yisomim, at the end of the day, is privately owned money. At the end of the day, the yosom is the one who owns the money. He's not over by mitzvah. Okay, so it's a tzedakah oriented cause. It's very important. Chesed, we want to take care of the yosom. At the end of the day, this money is 100% private money. What would the halacha be, says the Rashba, if you have real tzedakah money, most that we call it halacha she'ein lo tovim, means there's mamish no owner to this money. There's, you have a money that was set aside, if it's a gemach that was set aside, if it's a tzedakah organization that's set aside, the tzedakah organization has $10,000 in it, and they're waiting to distribute the money, and then they realize, you know what, let's lend out the money, the $10,000 beribis, mamish ribis deraisa, so we'll lend out $10,000 for $15,000. So the Rashba writes that, maybe that's mutter. The Gemara never said that that tzedakah money is not allowed to be lent out by ribbis d'araisa. The Gemara says Moshe Yisayim is not permitted to be lent out the ribbis d'araisa. Why is tzedakah money perhaps better than Moshe Yisayim? Because Moshe Yisayim, at the end of the day, still privately owned funds. Tzedakah money doesn't obey anybody. So maybe, says the Rashba, the issue of ribbis is when you have a loiva and you have a malva. A loiva means a person, an individual. A malva means a person, an individual. Tzedakah money is not personal money. If you have shutfim, if you have business partners, you have a business that's owned by five Jews, so that's private money. It's owned by five different people, but it's still private money. Mashain Kane said, tzedakah money is not private money. It's not owned by anybody. So maybe, just as the Gemara says, lo asra toyer le ribbis abom yadlovi amalveh, there has to be a loiv, there has to be a malveh. If there's no person who's a loiv, there's no person who's a malveh, maybe that's not considered to be ribbis bechlal. That's what the Rashba throws out as a possibility, but then the Rashba rejects it. So that's what there's a difference the Gemara has in other places about Mamon She'en Lo Tovin. The Gemara says that tzedakah money, basically, the aniyim don't have a stake. Let's say, if I have a tzedakah fund, let's say if I have a discretionary fund in my shul, so when ani comes to me and he says, I'd like that money, he doesn't have a tie on that money, I can say, I want to give it to another ani. So that's what's called Mamon She'en Lo Tovin. So that money doesn't really have any owners. Unless, the Gemara says, let's say you have a setup with aniyim, that the aniyim come mamish every week, there's a set procedure, you raise money for tzedakah, the money goes into the rabbi's discretionary fund, and the aniyim know that every Friday they come and I write them a $100 check each Friday. So that's what's called kitzlahu. That means there's a set amount, like tzutza, it's set amount that the aniyim always come for. The Gemara says that's considered ready to be mamon aniyim. That mamish the aniyim have a certain degree of violence on in terms of dini mamonis. We had the shaila just recently. Somebody asked me the shaila. The sugi of mamish el tovin appears in the end of the 8th parak of Bava Kam in terms of mazik, in terms of pshi, of shomrim. Let's say a very real shaila, you have tzedakah money, so you have a. So I'm holding on to $1,000 of cash, it's tzedakah money, and then the money gets stolen, the money gets lost. What are my responsibilities for that money? So the Gemara says that in the Ikar Adin, I'm not really mechuyev in it, because the Gemara is a drasha, lishmor, ki yitein ishra eyu, kesvakeim lishmor, lishmor v'lachalek le'aniyim. So the Gemara explains that there's no owner of that money. Who's going to take me to a din Torah? So it wasn't nice. If I want to go to Fnim Mishur's Adin, I should probably, if it was my fault really, I should really pay back the money. But in terms of pure dinim mamanes, am I mechuyev, who's going to take me to a din Torah? One ani is going to come and say, hey, you lost that tzedakah money. I'll turn around and say, it's not your tzedakah money, it's the other tzedakah's money. But a union of all the aniyim are going to get together and take me to a din Torah. So the Gemara says that b'med devar mamurim, that the aniyim can't take me to a din Torah. That's if you have a setup where there is no particular ani that I give to. But if every week I raise the money and I give $100 to each ani every Friday, so then that ani has a share in the money and that ani can take me to a din Torah. That's called mamon sheyesh lo tovim. So we had the shaila. Last week somebody asked me the following shaila, that there was a certain shul, yeshiva, whatever it was, that apparently the tzedakah box had been stolen several, had been raided several times. So it was a humorous end of the story. It wasn't so humorous, but the tzedakah box was a humorous end of the story anyway. So they tried, so some yeshiva guys decided they're going to play detective, and there's a little bit too many detective shows. They're going to play their own detective. They're going to find out who they suspected who stole the tzedakah box. So they took the next day's tzedakah box, filled up with tzedakah money. Why they did tzedakah money, I can't tell you. They filled up another $10 of quarters into the tzedakah box, and they rigged a camera from the other side of the base medrash or something. They hit a camera, and they wanted to catch the guy mamish on tape. So what happened? So go figure. They were excellent detectives, gavaldik, just that the camera wasn't charged. So it died right before the guy walked into the base medrash to steal the money. So kachava, the tzedakah box was gone, but they couldn't prove it. So because they didn't have the guy on tape. So now they came to Esben and Shaila, we mechuyev to pay back tzedakah now $10, because we were pesheya that we caused the tzedakah to lose another $10. So I said to them, you want to know what the halacha is, or you want to know what you should do? I said, the halacha is that you're not mechuyev to pay, because that was a moment she'en lo tovim. So unless you tie it, that was like a mazik a little bit. But even mazik may be pocked. That's another shayla. So I said, me'ikra, then I don't think you're mechuyev to pay, but I give you two recommendations. Number one, you should put $10 of your own money, and don't put it in that snuckle box, but give it to a deal that's going to get to it. And number two, you should stop playing the cops and robbers, and call somebody who maybe knows what they're doing, if you want to catch the guy, have the guy act the course. I don't know what happened at the end of the story.
You collect regularly from, let's say, five people for your discretionary fund to give out that $100. Do they have any claim on you if the money is stolen? To say, well, you should have been more careful?
The, I think the Pasha says once they give the money to the Gabbai Tzedakah, I don't think they have a tine on him anymore. I don't think so. Yeah, I don't want to say anything too charged these days, but I think that technically speaking, you give it to a guy al das that he's going to distribute it, and I don't think you have you can take it to a tintari. I don't think so. But I'm not going to say any further. And we get back to the story.
Yeah.
That's that between them and the Rabban Shalom. They try to do a mitzvah. And, anyway, getting back to the story. So. The Rashba throws out this possibility that maybe Mamash Elo Tovim, there's no Ribbis Deraisa, there's no Ribbis Bechlal. So the Gemara had a Chiddush that Rib Moshe Yisayimim, he could at least violate Ribbis Derabonon. Says the Rashba, Moshe Tzedok Mamash, Mamash Elo Tovim, maybe he can Mamash violate Ribbis Deraisa. So at the end of the day, the Rashba backs out. He says, Ain't a Noi Kachla Maisa. He says, Nice Tikkul Tayrif, Alumdus, and a Thursday Chabura, but Tachlas Lamaisa, that's not true, says the Rashba. We shouldn't rely on this. That's in Shulchan Aruch, the Rashba's not quoted. So La Halacha, we assume that this is a problem. We assume that even tzedakah funds and yeshiva funds and the momush and the tovim, whatever the case may be, one is not permitted to do any ribbis deraisa transactions. Ribbis derabbanan would be permissible, but again, as we'll see as we go along, it's not so easy to always turn a regular loan into a ribbis derabbanan, but a ribbis deraisa is out of the question. Along the lines of what the Rashba has opened up for us, at least the Pesach, at least the possibility, that you have to always look and see who are the quote-unquote owner of these funds, and sometimes public-oriented money may be a little bit different than private money. This leads us into the discussion in terms of banks and corporations, and what exactly is the status of these kinds of things as they play out in terms of ribbis. So here, there was a tremendous chiddush by Rabbi Moshe, which the truth is Rabbi Moshe was not the first one to suggest this chiddush to work. Some achronim, previous generations who suggested it, but it became known, and today's lingo is Rabbi Moshe's kula in terms of ribbis. So Rabbi Moshe discusses the following shaila. When you have a corporation, so does ribbis apply to those kinds of situations? We have a corporation. What's the difference between a corporation and just a couple of guys who are in business together, in partnership together? So Rabbi Moshe says the distinguishing feature in halacha is as follows. Personal liability. So says Rabbi Moshe, a normal loan that the Torah envisions, the mission at the end of Bava Basra, a regular loan means I borrow $1,000 from you and I become a chuyif to pay back that loan. And really two things happen. I have a personal liability to pay back the loan. You can go after me as a person in Beis Din. You can also go after my property, go after at least my real estate. And in fact, if I sell that karka to somebody else, so in the interim, you can go after that karka as well. That's what's called shibud nechasim. But every loan has built into it a shibud haguf, that is a personal liability. I have to pay back the loan. You can come after, you can take me to the entire to pay back the loan. So says Rav Moshe, that's the chiddush of a corporation, even though the Gemara never speaks about this type of an entity called a corporation. But says Rav Moshe, the distinguishing halachic feature is that it's a quote-unquote loan without a shibud haguf. So there is no one person you can go after. That's the whole idea, is that nobody wants to be a personal liability. Nobody wants that you should come after me, the company. We have 100 people who put money into a company. Nobody wants that any of their ma'avim should come after them personally. So they set up this ink, they set up a corporation, and that's the din of the machus, that you can't come after each person. So says Rav Moshe, when you have a situation where you can't come after any given lova, so that's not a hova, that's a nothing. There's no lova, there's nothing, that's not a hova that took place. That's a different business deal. The Torah only prohibits hovas to take ribbis from, and therefore there's no ribbis bechlal under these circumstances. Not ribbis derais and not ribbis derabon. So the Rav Moshe writes that if the lova is a corporation, if the person who's borrowing the money is a corporation, there's no personal liability, then there's no ribbis bechlal.
Yeah, but what if the lender makes you personally guarantee the corporation's loan?
That's not a corporation anymore. So then if you accept personal liability, that's a regular halvah, then there would be a problem. So it's based on this Rav Moshe, that Rav Moshe basically says, we spoke about this in the Prizbal Shirim, remember from Shemitah's Ksofim, we mentioned this Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe says that that's all banks are like that. If a bank borrows $1,000 from you, it means I have a regular checking account, so I put $1,000 into my checking account. What that means is the bank is borrowing $1,000 from me. So the bank, Mr. Bank, Mr. Chase, is borrowing $1,000 from me. There is no Mr. Chase. So if I want to go collect the money, so I come to the bank tells me, no, I'm sorry, we have no money for you. Who am I going to take to court exactly? Who am I personally going to take? Chase. I'm going to go after the assets of Chase. So good. That there's no personal. And anyone who was sitting on the board in Chase, he's still sitting on the board. I'm not going to have a tiny accuser from any personal money of his. So comes a motion, says, that's not a whole vault. That's another thing. Well, let's say we spoke about this in terms of governments. We spoke about this by Shemitah Ksofim. Let's say a person takes out an Israeli bond. So I'm lending the Israeli government $10,000, and they're giving me a piece of paper that says that in 20 years from now, they'll pay me back $20,000. So says Rav Moshe, that's nothing. That's not a whole von halacha, because the Israeli government is not a personal individual. So who am I going to go after? The prime minister? Who am I going to go after? The minister? The tsar of what? The tsar of the money? I don't know what I'm going to go after. There's nobody to go after. It's the government who owes me the money. So since there's no personal liability, therefore, bechlav, that's not considered to be halva, and therefore, it would be totally mutter, all these kinds of ribbis transactions. The what? Oh, that we're going to get to the reverse. So far, I've been very careful to give all my examples that I'm lending money to the corporation. So first of all, many poskim did not accept this school of Rav Moshe. The Minchas Yitzchok, Dayan Weiss, who was the head of the Eidah Haredes, so he was strongly opposed to the school of Rav Moshe. Others were also strongly opposed to the school of Rav Moshe. But Rav Moshe held to this psak, and he believed that this psak was correct. The only thing is, Rav Moshe points out that it should be clear, says Rav Moshe, that this only works in one direction, because the chiddush is that when there's no personal liability, so then that's not considered to be a halvaha more of a Torah. But what if you have the following case, the exact opposite? Namely, you have a person who borrows money from a corporation. So the corporation is the malve, and now the individual is the love. So says Rav Moshe, that's a full-fledged halvah. That's a halvah more of a Torah. That's subject to all the regular halachas of Uchus Ribbis, and that would be a problem. So says Rav Moshe, if I'm, rather than lending money to the bank, I'm borrowing money from the bank, that's a whole different ballgame. So let's say you have a Jewish-owned bank. We haven't even begun to discuss yet issues of Jews and non-Jews and partnerships. That's way, way, way down the line. But let's say, for argument's sake, a Jewish-owned bank. Mamash, 100% Israel discount bank, Bank Lomi, Bank of Paulim. Mamash, a real, real, honest-to-goodness Jewish-owned bank. So according to Rav Moshe, I'm allowed to have a savings account in that bank. I'm allowed to have a checking account in that bank, because there the money is going. I'm the malv and the bank is a lova. But I can't take out a mortgage from that bank. I can't take out a loan from that bank, because here I'm the lova and the bank is the malv. So I have personal liability. You better believe they're going to come after me. If I don't pay back the loan, for sure they're going to come after me. So that's called the halvah amura b'tayra, and that's a problem. So Lemaisa, Rav Moshe's school is a great kula for 50% of transactions, but the other 50%, so even Rav Moshe is not going to help. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Did you not say before that Tosfos seemed to say that in case of the Apotropos and stuff, that because one is a cotton, so that can make the transaction a fake, that you need both sides?
No, but that means as follows. Tosfos says that if there's an if there's no iser mitzvah hamalva, if the malva is not a mechuyah b'davar, the malva is under bar mitzvah, so then the iser doesn't apply to the lova also, because the iser of the lova is secondary to the iser of the malva. But if the malva is mechuyah b'davar, so let's say here the Israeli bank, so anyone who owns share in that Israeli bank is a mechuyah b'davar. So all of those malvim are also to lend money to me beribis. So that's not gonna be included in Tosfos Eskula. So a kopon of Rav Moshe had a machlekes with the other poskim whether in the case of the lova being a corporation, whether that solves any problems. But in the case where the malva is the corporation, the kuliyam lepligi, that for sure is considered to be an outright ribbis situation. And one would have to look for other ways if one wants to do business with Israeli banks. There are ways to do that also. At the riskas, we haven't even started. That's way, 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 way down the line. But in terms of just to be mounted straight out, that there's no lova, there's no malva, that is not going to help in the other direction. Even in the direction of Rav Moshe, it's questionable that other posts can disagree with Rav Moshe's kula. So up until now, what we've been trying to define in a really, really very basic tzura is what constitutes ribbis d'oraisa. So we've already seen that there are a few criteria necessary to label any given transaction as ribbis d'oraisa. We spent a lot of time talking about who the lova is, who the malva is, how much they relate to one another, shliach directly, etc. But if you remember from the very beginning of the Shia last week, we said that there's one condition, one prerequisite to be ribbis d'oraisa, and that is it has to be what's called in halacha ribbis k'tzutza. That if it's not set, if there's not an amount that's set, or a percentage that's set, v'shas maisa, that's not considered to be ribbis d'araisa. It doesn't mean it's mutter, it's not ribis d'araisa. Ribis ketzutza is the term that we use to define absolute ribis d'araisa. We had a machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid. When does that ketzitza have to take place? The Rambam says the ketzitza must take place at the time of the original loan, and the Ravid said it can be done later. If I lend you 100 for 100, and then at the time of payment, I want an extension, and I say, okay, give me another month to pay back, and I'll give you 150. So that's also ribis d'araisa, according to the Ravid. Many poskim accept that Ravid l'halacha. So the ketzitza is for sure an absolute prerequisite in order to be ribis d'araisa. However, now we have to move a little bit into the realm of ribis d'rabbanan. We're going to come back to ribis d'araisa as the weeks go on, but we have to contrast what's considered to be ribis d'rabbanan. So ribis d'rabbanan starts out by discussing if you have a chisor of the ketzitza. There is no ketzitza. You didn't set an amount in stone. There was no specific, either a specific amount or a specific percentage that was set into the transaction. What ended up happening was, I lent you $100 and you gave me back $100, but something else got thrown into the picture. Somehow it ended up that at the end of the day, I ended up with more than $100. Nobody agreed upon that. Nobody wrote that into the contract. But at tachlis, at the end of the day, I gave you 100 and I ended up with 100 plus something, either plus more money or plus something else. That is considered to be ribis d'rabbanan. So what are the guidelines of that type of ribis? So here the Mishnah gives us an example of this. The Mishnah says, I'm a very, very religious person. I lend you $100 only to be paid back $100. I don't ask for anything else. No extra money. However, there is something else that gets thrown enters into this mix. And what is that? Hoveu v'dar v'chatzeiro. It means I lend you $100 and you return me $100. It's just that in the interim, you happen to have an apartment that's vacant. You own an apartment that's vacant and I need a place to live. So sure, I end up living in your apartment without paying rent. If I live in your apartment, then I pay rent. So hey, that's not a problem. But if I lend you $100 and now you pay me back $100 and I also lived in your apartment to boot, to add on, so then what happened at the end of the day? I ended up with 100 plus. I ended up with 100 plus a week of no rent. So the Gemara says that's what's called an alacha avak ribis. That's the dust of ribis. That's a ribis d'rabbanan. Why is it d'rabbanan? Because it was never set in stone as having to be paid. But hoveyu b'dar b'chatzeiro is also. So that's what the Gemara says. Some of you may remember from Bava Kama a couple of weeks ago that hadar b'chatzei chaveiro shlomi daito. The Gemara has a whole discussion. If let's say you have an empty apartment and I nothing to do with ribis now. I move into the apartment. I take over and I live there for a week. Can you come now and take me to a din Torah to pay for the rent? So the Gemara has a whole discussion. Zenen evezelo chaser. So if the apartment was really up for rent and by my living there, so people thought that the apartment is occupied, so people didn't come and rent it, I caused you a hefsed momon, then for sure I have to pay you. But what if you weren't planning on renting out the apartment in the first place? So I got a week's free rent off of you, and you didn't lose anything. So can you take me to a din Torah? So back and forth, sugi in the Gemara, in the end of the day, we pass it, ain't tzorech la'alos lo schar, that since you didn't lose anything, so I wasn't nice for doing it, it wasn't l'chatchil, I'm not supposed to move into your apartment without your permission, but you can't take me to a din Torah. I didn't cost you anything. So we pass it, l'alocha, dar b'chatz, chaver shlomi daito, ain't tzorech la'alos lo schar. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's true if there wasn't a loan that took place. But hoveyu v'dar b'chatzeiro shlomi daito tzarech la'alos lo schar. But if I went ahead and I lent you $1,000 and then I go move into your apartment for free, then you better believe I have to pay your rent. Because if I don't pay your rent, it turns out that I took ribis from you. So that's the example, par excellence, that the Gemara gives of a ribis d'rabbanan. That there was nothing, there was no agreement, nobody knew what was going on, the lova had no clue what was going on, but at the end of the day, the malva walked away with a week's worth of free living, so the malva was nene from the lova, mikach talva, that's called ribis d'rabbanan, and that would be a problem. So comes Tosfos and raises a bomb kasha. Tosfos says, is this really true, what the Gemara means, that any time the lova is in a sense causing a benefit to the malva, even though it wasn't really agreed upon, it wasn't part of the contract, it wasn't ribis ketzutza, you're going to tell me that's also? The Chachamim prohibited that. So says Tosfos, what if the malva and the lova are good friends, and they always borrow things from each other without asking. They always, it's normal. Let's say, for example, I lend you $100, and you're sitting in the base medrash next to me, and you have a gemara that I need. So I can't pick up the gemara and start to learn the gemara, because what are you going to say? You're going to say that since I lend you $1,000, so now I'm only allowed to get back $1,000 from you. If I get back $1,000 plus the hanah of learning with your sefer for that extra penny, so that's ribis d'rabbanan in the davar sof. So how top of it, where do you draw the line? It's the Shemana Davos HaMayolim. It should be also to do every single thing, which is any Hanah Kiyuzef and the Lobot to the Malveh should be also. Where do you draw the line? It's got to be some kind of a line that you have to draw. So comes Tosus and is searching hard for that line. Tosus wants to know, where do you draw the line? At what point do you say that it's not even Ribbis Derabbanan? So Tosus throws out one possibility. Tosus says, you know, the case that the Gemara gives, Huvei Vadar Bechatzero, that's a Dovashel Farhesia. That's a, everybody knows that guy is living in somebody else's house. Everyone sees he's living in his house. So says Tosus, maybe, since this is not Ribbis Derais anyway, it's not Ketsutza anyway, it's only Ribbis Derabbanan. So maybe the Chachamim prohibited it because it's going to lead people to Ribbis Deraisa. So if it's something which is Nikol Akol, everybody realizes, hey, Reuven lent $1,000 to Shimon, and look at this, Reuven's living in Shimon's apartment for a week. Isn't that a violation of Ribbis? So Minator, it's not really Ribbis, because it was never agreed upon, it wasn't Ketsutza. But since it looks like Ribbis, it smells like Ribbis, and it appears to be publicly Ribbis, maybe that's what the Chachamim prohibited. But in a situation where nobody knows, I'm sorry, who picks up a Gemara in the base medrash, not so public, not so many people in the base medrash, so it's after night said it's over, so it's not so public, maybe the Chum never asked that. That Tosus throws out as one possibility. Then Tosus throws out a second possibility. Maybe the only reason why it's usher for Reuven to live in Shimon's apartment without paying the rent is only because he's doing it Shalom Yidaito. He didn't get permission to live in the apartment. That's the case in the Gemara. So if he didn't get permission to live in the apartment, so what's he living in the apartment for? It must be that the wheels are turning. I'm entitled to live in that apartment because I lent him $1,000. So even though it wasn't stipulated that there's a connection between the ribbis, between the living in the apartment and the original loan, it's understood, that's what everybody's thinking, that the only justification I would ever have, Mehechet Heis, I'm going to walk into your apartment, it must be I'm walking in because I know you owe me a taiva. Why do you owe me a taiva? Because I lent you $1,000. That you're not supposed to do. So that smells of ribbis. Again, Minat Torah, it's not ribbis because it wasn't agreed upon. It wasn't Ketsutza, but that's a problem. But what if I come up to you and I knock on your door and say, listen, can you do me a favor? Can I live in your apartment now? Midaitcha. So Gesund Heit says Tosus. So if nobody's connecting that living in the apartment with the loan itself, it was never written into the contract, it was never spelled out, there's any correlation between the living in the apartment and the loan, so that's okay, says Tosus. That was never included in the Isra in the first place. So Tosus, two possible kulas. Then Tosus says, all these kulas only make sense if the Malva and the Lova had a relationship beforehand, that the Malva would have let would have done some of these things beforehand. If the Malva and the Lova only have a business relationship, they're not such good friends, they never would have lent each other svarim, never would have let people live in apartments, even with permission. It's unheard of. So then Tosfos says, of course that's also. There's no question that that's also. So Tosfos, the Mishnah says at the end of Ezun Eshech, if I lend you $1,000 and I never spoke to you before, so you're not even allowed to say Shalom Aleichem to me. You're not allowed to say good morning to me anymore because anytime you do something new in exchange for the loan, that's a problem of ribbis. The ribbis devarim, the Gemara calls it. Hopefully we'll talk about that later on also. So says Tosfos, if the Malva and the Lova are close, that they used to do tovus to one another, and now the tova that they're doing is either according to the first day in Tosfos, a private tova, or according to the second day in Tosfos, it's a type of a tova that they got permission for, so those are the two terutzim of Tosfos, why it's going to be mutter. At the end of the day, in Shulchan Aruch, we pass in the Chumran Nishayla, that we're choshesh for both answers of Tosfos. So therefore, lemaisa, we pass in as follows. If I lend you $1,000, and now I want to extract some external tova from you, I want to live in your apartment, I want to buy your svarim, I want to do something. So the Shulchan Aruch says, it's only mutter if three conditions are met. Number one, it's something that we used to do beforehand. So it's not like all of a sudden the loan came into the being and now all of a sudden you're doing mitovos. That's absolutely chayt lo yavar. It has to be something that we used to do beforehand. So it's not associated, not directly related to the loan. Number two, it has to be private. It has to be something that's not lifei amba eda that everybody knows about, like living in somebody's apartment. It has to be mamash and the hush and hush. It shouldn't be nika that it's ribbis. And number three, I have to get permission. But I have to ask you, because if I do it on my own without getting your permission, so that makes it look like ribbis a little bit more. That resembles ribbis a little bit more, that I feel like I have a right to go take things of yours. Mechet ha'is, it must be because I lent you the money. So when all the dust settles, lamais and shulchan aruch, we paskin that ribbis derabbanan will apply in many, many cases, where if I lend you $1,000, I shouldn't think thing, just because I lent you $1,000 for $1,000, so then I can do whatever I want. Not so simple. I lend you $1,000 for $1,000, I have to not only be careful not to accept money from you in return, I have to be careful not to accept too many favors from you in return, because if there are types of favors that you didn't do for me beforehand, that's a problem. If there are types of favors that are public, that's a problem. If it's a type of a favor that I'm doing without asking your permission, that's also a problem. One can violate Ribbis Dirabanan very, very easily without taking into consideration these different conditions. So, upon him, at least we have an introduction to what's considered to be Ribbis Dirabanan of the Ritz Hashem. Next week, we'll continue along the lines of different scenarios which play out as Ribbis Dirabanan and Ribbis Dirabanan.
Jewish-owned bank and who would lend money.